just like in Noah's Ark, you can see that God closed the door mm-hmm. on the Ark. Sometimes God, they say, when God closes a door, he opens a window. Hopefully it's not during July or August because it's just hot outside. But you can see that God orchestrates these opportunities. Mm-hmm. But yet sometimes we talk ourselves into what we think is an opportunity. Welcome to another Uncommon Podcast. I am TJ.
I am Joshua, and we're plugged in this week.
Plugged in?
Finally have Wi-Fi back.
Oh. If you've seen our last few, we were taking AT&T out to the woodshed for its lack of internet. But we are back. We shot a bunch of content then because internet was down. So this one here is going to be around navigating new opportunities. Not everything that is glitter is gold, as they say, right? And so we're talking about weighing an opportunity. Is it a blessing from God or is it a distraction? And because, you know, just because a door opens doesn't mean we need to walk through it, or doesn't mean we need to not walk through it. Praying about God's will, having peace about it, is a huge part of this process. And so before we get to discussing some of the points to it, the scripture is, "See, I have set before you an open door," ironically, "and no one can shut it. I know that you have but a little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." This is Revelation 3:8. Just like in Noah's Ark, you can see that God closed the door on the Ark. Sometimes God, they say, when God closes a door, he opens a window. Hopefully it's not during July or August because it's just hot outside. But you can see that God orchestrates these opportunities. But yet sometimes we talk ourselves into what we think is an opportunity. Have you ever had anything that you saw as an opportunity, and what was the process you went through to take advantage or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest example that I think we looked at, or I thought of when we were talking about this, is the when we're looking at homes, right? And it's a big thing, right? Like, all right, Lord, where are we going? Where do you want us, kind of thing? And it's not cheap to move, and all these houses, kind of thing. So, you know, being very diligent about, okay, not trying to just accept anything that goes right as God's will, right? Just like, they accepted our offer. It's like, okay, well, is that me wanting that? Or is that, you know, that kind of thing? And then just having to be patient through it. I think it's interesting that the saying is, you know, Lord closes a door and he opens a window. When it's like, well, sometimes Lord closes the door, he doesn't open anything else.
That's it.
You can stay right there.
Yeah.
Because he has something else to do for you or work you to work on in that time frame. I think we live our life through this idea, like, it's always opportunities, always something to do, something to walk through, something to, you know, kind of progress through, that we're always trying to, like, pin events to the Lord and say, the Lord got me here. And, you know, one of the books I read recently was talking about, you know, oftentimes when we are closest to the Lord whispers. And we're listening for, we're trying to find, like, I don't hear the Lord. And he's like, well, he's closest, he's whispering to you. He's not going to be shouting at you when you're that close. And I think sometimes we often try to be like, well, Lord, I need you to yell at me. I need you to hit me in the head. I need you to stop this if it's wrong.
Send me a sign, Lord.
I have a friend who was like, he was going through the dating process and he dated a couple girls, and it was a girl he was very fond of. And he was, a lot of times he'd use the vernacular, Lord, I need you to tell me if this is not the one. This is not the one. Because I think we want black and white. It's easier if it's black and white.
Oh, sure.
Right? You know, like, I want, Lord, just come down and say, yes, I do want you to have that extra egg roll tonight at dinner, Joshua. Moving on. That kind of stuff. But, you know, if we are not you know, in the Bible, in God's Word, praying and ruminating on His word, how are we expecting God to speak to us,
sure,
or us to hear His voice in those scenarios. You know, it's the genie thing. You don't just wake up one day and say, "All right, now I'm going to listen to you, Lord." Because, you know, oftentimes we think of, "Well, I'm going to listen to you as long as it's the right, it's just what I want to hear, right?" Is it the house I want? Well, Lord said no. I didn't like that answer. I'm going to try to ask Him again.
So for me, it was 2005. Mm-hmm. We had just evacuated for Katrina. We went to Arizona. A friend of mine was out there. He was in the same industry as I was. He was just starting his company. And he's like, "Hey, you can come work for us," doing X, Y, Z. Same thing I've been doing for the last 11 years-ish, right? And my previous boss, who was still in New Orleans, she had reached out to someone in Arizona. They did not have a position, but they made one for me. It was going to be in web development, which I thought was my lowest skill at the time. And the easy money would have been like, just go with your friend, do what you know, and, you know, go from there. It's easier. I chose to go with the job that I thought I had zero or very little qualifications for. Wound up leading to our business,
right,
studio, and going on 19 plus years. At the time, it looked like I was making the wrong decision. But everything I felt the Holy Spirit was saying was telling me to go this way. And I had peace about that. It was new. Obviously, there was some apprehension there. But I think when we are in situations and, you know, we're like not in a situation of, "All right, Lord, I'm going to be praying about this. I need a yes or a no," kind of thing. When you're in the moment and it's like that time, the decision to be made, having peace that goes beyond all understanding. That's what I had with this. And even my friend, he's like, "Hey, are you sure you don't want to take and come work with us? I mean, because, you know, we're getting all brand new Macs. We're moving into a great studio. It's going to be cool, man. We just landed a big contract." So I said, one, I was concerned about ruining our friendship, right? And then, but I just felt that this was something that God had orchestrated. And here we are, you know, many, many years later. And unfortunately, my friend's business did not last. And he's working at another company now. But you can kind of see those are things that I don't know at the time. I could only trust God knows where I am and what the future holds for me. And, you know, navigating those opportunities. If we weigh how much money does it make, and that's the only thing, or I'm gonna be vice president of what? Does it come in a company car? How much stuff do I get? That kind of thing. It muddies the water. And so I think we can see that, you know, considering the source, you know, is it just around a paycheck or is it around God's will? It may be both. Praise God.
Yeah.
Ring the bell, man. Enjoy that paycheck. But sometimes fear of stepping out is sometimes around, are you qualified? They call it the imposter syndrome, right? You don't quite know if you have the skill set for that. I know I did not have the skill set for this, but I was willing to learn. And so that led to me really stepping into that role.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like, you know, in that scenario, at least you felt peace at it, you know. Not all the times is that going to be the case. No, like, you make that decision, you're like, "Ah, I'm at peace," kind of thing. But I think that it is good to remind ourselves that, you know, no matter the end result, the Lord will still use it for his good plan, right? Sure. So, you know, as long as, I mean, the decisions you're making are God-honoring, you know, you're putting that first, putting, you know, leading your family well and all that kind of stuff. Even if it crumbles apart in your hands, at least that decision is made well, right? Sure. But, I mean, to your point, there's so much out there that vies for our attention, whether it's the new parking spot, the new glittery thing of like, oh, I get this job, I get a little more money and go buy that PlayStation I wanted to get. Or if I move over here, this is where all the rich folk play golf all day and pretend to work.
Right.
There's a lot out there that can really sway us one way or the other.
Sure. And most usually, time it's money.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I've mentioned that before, that guy who was trying to get a job at Apple, they was gonna pay him probably $500,000 a year, and this is 2005, so it really went a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the only thing? Because you can see, you speak to someone who is money focused or benefit focused, you can tell that pretty quick about their mm-hmm. job. And when those raises don't come or the perks are not quite there anymore, they're nervous. They're like, oh my goodness, I took this job or enjoyed this job because it had so much to give.
Right.
Where's all the perks now, you know? Mm. And so I often think about, you know, the longevity of the calling, like Joseph. He didn't get to be second in command of Egypt until years later.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, a little stint in prison too, right? So sometimes even when we're called and on the path of God's will, there's going to be some hiccups.
Sure.
There's going to be some issues that you have with your house, your job, your health, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And but if God is in it, that's the best place you can be.
Right. And I think on the other side of this, you have people who maybe have this plan for their own life, right? They're like, hey, I got a itinerary to hit. At this age, I want a girlfriend. This way, a married age, you know, 25 right. kids,
sure.
picket fence and around the house, all that kind of stuff. And I'd say, you know, there is no other person I know more and myself, I love a good plan. I love planning out years in life. I'm like, all right, we got a plan to follow. And I mean, I've talked about that in the podcast before, that where I am right now was not part of the plan. This was not part of the pathway to get to this point right here. And I think it's funny that oftentimes, and I have plenty of friends who would say the same thing, you know, Lord sees that plan and goes, oh, you trust the plan more than you trust me right now. Right. We're going to have to take care of that. And sometimes...
I mean, look, you've been with Studio for 8 years. That's exactly where God wanted you to be.
But sometimes we put a little more faith in our own planning than the Lord's planning, right? Of like, you know, hey, I didn't expect to be working at this job this long. Lord, I was expecting to move up in my company,
sure.
looking for the perks. Lord, I was expecting to have children by this point, or be in a bigger house, or... I wasn't expecting my health to fail me to the point of being bedridden for a year plus.
Yeah, sure.
It's that kind of thing for us to remind ourselves that, you know, our plan is not His plan.
Yes.
And that, you know, no one in the Bible besides Jesus had a plan and stuck with that plan from beginning to end.
And how many of us would have said, okay, look, you know that job, a $500,000 job? Great, you're going to get that job, you're going to be there for 10 years, and then we're going to crucify you publicly on a cross. Not metaphorically, we're going to actually kill you dead. You still want the job?
Mm-hmm.
So in Jesus' plan, he had some sacrifice, and so he still wanted that plan. Yeah. Lord, thy will be done, right?
Yeah.
How many times do we step in or want to step into an opportunity and just kind of like, almost like step in the door and look around a little bit, like, is it safe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make this decision unless I know it's safe. And I get that. It's a human condition.
Mm-hmm.
Just that, you know, years are a long time to always be in the best place possible. Like when my boss used to ask, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I'm like, how can you see yourself in 5 years? I mean, I get that you have goals,
sure.
but 5 years is a long time. If COVID taught us anything, things can change pretty rapidly.
Just take the example of in this moment in time, think 5 years before here and think about where you were, what you were doing. Did you imagine you'd be right here right now? Probably right. Not.
Yeah, I'm going to say that was still the tail end of COVID. Obviously, we've had a few recessions, a couple of wars. There's been locusts, frogs, and it feels like there's been some things.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's just one of those things that opportunities come and go. Mm-hmm. Let's always apply God's will to each of those.
Right. I think it's relying on God in all of it, with it, like, not making the quote-unquote the door, the opportunity, the end goal, right? Like, not be like, yeah, if the opportunity is there, man, and it's, it's God-honoring, and you can, do X, Y, and Z with it, and great stuff with your family and friends and all kind, go for it. But don't be like, I am only looking for opportunities now. I'm no longer looking for God's will. I'm just, like, looking for the next thing,
sure, right?
Right. Because we've known many people who are like, the leapfrog jobs, like, it feels like every, like, 3 days. And they're like, oh, well, this shiny object over here, I'm making triple the money over here. And now I'm working 2 minutes here, and I'm off 5 minutes here, and then I'm back on for two. it's that kind of stuff where we're like, we focus so much on the opportunity that, that becomes an idol almost of like, what can I just do to get a little bit more?
Sure.
Whether that's, money, whether that's, a little more space in the house, a little bit nicer car, whatever kind of thing. There's always something that can take that focus from us, instead of putting it on God, putting it on things around us.
Yeah, so I think that we have some resources that we can kind of point everybody to. One is called. I didn't plan that. It's titled Called, and it's about being called to your mission, your purpose in life. And we all have our different ones other than the Great Commission.
Yeah.
And then another one is A to B. It talks about that journey from, I'm out of college and I got a job, or I was born and I died, or whatever. That journey of everything, right? Mm. How do we get from A to B? And what does it look like as we're going?
Yeah.
Because it looks different for everybody, and you're going to have opportunities that come and go, and some you're like, am I glad that I didn't do that? Because I would have been in really bad shape if I took that opportunity and it went that way. So check those out at uncommon.org. We want to thank this week's sponsor of I think it's Page Progressive.
Yep.
Is our sponsor this week. They handle all of our hosting for us and a lot of back-end support. Appreciate that, Daniel and his team. And one of the guys that had commented on one of our shorts, he said, I wish I was able to have a conversation with you guys, like in person kind of thing. Well, we may not be able to be in person. Leave a comment, ask a question, give a viewpoint, and we can respond back and forth like that. We're just two guys sitting in front of a bunch of records that are awesome, having a conversation about God.
Yeah.
So, Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.
Amen.